Now, if one is going to work with such concepts like values and visions and virtues, and perhaps to develop or to build upon some notion of wisdom, and certainly this is a great departure from the traditional way that people have looked upon being a manager. And they are certainly not qualities or virtues that are generally taught at business schools, right? I mean, there you learn about finance, about production, about information technology, about accounting and whatnot. But it's a bit way out to talk about virtues. Although we do at the Copenhagen Business School, we talk about business. We actually at my department, which is called the Department of Management, Politics, and Philosophy, we talk about leadership virtues. But it's seldom that this is done. It leads automatically to the thought that you can lead several things. People generally think about leading others, like a business leader is leading the company. But in fact, a prerequisite for that is really to be able to lead oneself. I was thinking, Sandra, you were talking in your presentation of yourself about contributing to the world, or saving the world. And I would say the same kind of duality is there. It's very difficult. And this is a deep question, but it's very difficult to aspire to contribute to or to save the world without saving oneself. So here you have an automatic kind of a dilemma between the ego, am I doing this for my own good? And this is the kind of dilemmas that people like yourself obviously have met in trying to balance this need for self-development and at the same time to be a practitioner of business. Now, if one is to try to lead oneself and lead organizations or lead others at the same time, this leads to some demands of a very particular kind. And these are demands which are not ordinarily phrased in language, they're not certainly not taught. And that is what I would call a kind of existential wonder. These are questions like, who am I? And who are we? If I'm a leader of an organization, the great challenge to me is to be able to see who I really am. A fantastically challenging, difficult question. If you haven't, you probably did this as a child. And if you had a mother like I did, she's a wonderful mother, but ambitious on her behalf of her son, and I'm quite certain that when I asked her mother, what's it all about? Why am I here? I'm quite certain that my mother would have answered, keep quiet and do your studies, or eat your porridge. We had those kinds of existential wonder when we were small children, but it got beaten out of us. We went to school, and then we went further on, and we went on career paths. So this fantastically important question, who am I? The most challenging part, I think, of my presentation, which is challenging for me, spirituality. I start by making a very bold statement. We are all spiritual beings, first and foremost. And the workplace is an important arena for spiritual growth and for service to others. I'll repeat that. We are all spiritual beings, first and foremost. And the workplace is an important arena for spiritual growth and service to others. Let me read two statements dealing with this. One of them is from a mystic Christian who lives in the 14th century, and the other one is from a 20th century extremely successful businessman. The first statement is by a beautiful man called Meister Eckhart, and I'll read. It's a bit tough to keep your ears out there. The seed of God is in us. Given an intelligent and hard-working farmer, it will thrive and grow up to God, whose seed it is. And accordingly, its fruits will be God nature. Pear seeds grow into pear trees, nut seeds grow into nut trees, and God seeds grow into God. The second statement, with a very similar content, is from William George, who's the chairman of Megatronics. Megatronics, which is the world's largest and most successful organization producing advanced technology for medical purposes. This is a response, I'll just read it to you. It was a response to someone who had made a statement which is very much the opposite of what he's saying. He says, "We are all spiritual beings composed of minds, bodies, and the spiritual side. To unleash the whole capability of the individual, mind, body, and spirit, gives enormous power to the organization. It truly empowers members of the organization to devote their entire being to the ultimate purpose for which the organization exists, which is to serve others." The ultimate purpose for which the organization exists, which is to serve others. I'd like to present this word spirituality. It can mean so many things to so many different people. So let me just read aloud a few of them that I, together with some colleagues, have written in a workbook we're in the process of developing called Human Values in the Workplace. Tapping into a deeper meaning of life that transcends our physical existence. Tapping into a deeper meaning of life that transcends our physical existence. In other words, a statement that there's more to reality than what my mind, my intellect, and my senses can fathom or can be in contact with by our sight, our hearing, and whatnot. A second possible definition of spirituality might be having a relationship with the source of creation. A third might be being fully conscious of the source of life and living from that awareness. A fourth might be, which I referred to earlier in this existential questions, might be inquiring into the nature of one's true self. Inquiring into the nature of one's true self. And I mentioned, just by being inspired at the moment, I can think of three authors who have written fantastic works, books, very easily read books on that subject. One of them is a modern day person. I believe he is a Zen Buddhist, but he doesn't write it in his book. It's a best-selling book. It's called The Power of Now. And it's written by a German person called Eckhart Tolle. The second one is a great Indian spiritual master who's been dead for some years. His name is Ramana Maharshi. He lived his whole life asking the question, he was the guru, the people who came to him for advice, would continually ask him, "Who am I?" And the third was also from the Indian subcontinent, was a man called Nisargadatta. There's a book called Who Am I? Which is based upon tape recordings of people asking him questions and his responding. He was a completely uneducated person who was made his life by making cigarettes, and who was a great spiritual master, and whose way to becoming a wise person was by continually focusing on the question, Who am I?